You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set.
Iconic music in the history of video games. I don't know what is, you guys. Welcome to Remember the Game, episode 3. This week, my buddy Mark McHugh and I will be remembering A Legend of Zelda Link to the Past for the Super Nintendo. For my money, this is the best Zelda game of all time. Breath of the Wild, I know, is really good. It's 1A, 1B, 1C thing with Link to the Past and Link Between Worlds. But for what it's worth, I love this video game. I'm not going to break it down in the intro like I have the last couple of weeks. I'm going to wait and get to the conversation with Mark. But needless to say, I had to have a box of Kleenexes beside me while I recorded this episode because, that's an adult reference that I'm not going to get any more graphically into because I don't know if graphically is a word. All right, I've ruined the intro. You guys, thank you so much for listening, and I'm going to get to the conversation with Mark right away about Link to the Past. Quick note, thank you so much for the feedback and the positive reviews the first couple of weeks. If you're enjoying this podcast, I implore you to subscribe to it on iTunes or Podbean. I'm also posting them on YouTube now. You can find them anywhere by searching Remember the Game, and a subscription and a positive review would really mean a lot to me. I'd appreciate it very much. We have some great episodes coming up with Ocarina of Time, Mega Man 2, Super Mario Kart. There's all kinds of games. So many people have reached out and asked to be on the show, so there's no lack of episodes. And it's been a great excuse for me to go back and play old video games again. So fucking, I'm so happy this podcast is off the ground. That's enough gushing from me, you guys. Here we go, Mark and I talking Link to the Past, the greatest Zelda game ever made. Enjoy. Okay, so now I should have started it 30 seconds ago when you were going on that rant, but I suck at podcasting. So today we are going to talk Link to the Past. And as you just said, it's one of the greatest video games of all time.
I can think of like maybe two or three games that I think are better than it. Yeah. Maybe like Chrono Trigger, maybe Breath of the Wild. But like for me, this is one of the best games ever made. And it's hard. Like simply because it has aged so spectacularly. Like there are totally people that are like, oh, gaming got like so much worse once it got into the 3D realm. And I'm totally not that guy.
Right.
But this game was the absolute pinnacle of two-dimensional gaming, I feel.
Yeah, certainly as far as Zelda. Like, I agree with you. Like, I've always liked Mario better than Zelda. Always. Like, I'm always going to. I just like those games better. But that said, like, Link to the Past is, I can't think of another game that, like, I just, like, I know every secret. I know every little trick. You know what I mean? Like, and I have it all memorized. I could probably draw that map right now on a sheet of paper. And I still never get bored of just walking around that map. Even though I know exactly where I have to go to get fucking flippers or a bottle or a heart piece or I don't care. I'm like, I'll fucking do it again. And I'll do it again and again and again and again and never get bored of it.
But do you remember the first time you played it? Just that sense, that overwhelming sense of mystery that the game has. Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, a lot of people say that about the original NES one. They were like, it was just this unreal thing. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Super Nintendo's where you started, right?
Super Nintendo's where I started. I went back and I played the original.
Right.
And I played Zelda 2. And okay. You know what? Those are good games.
They are good games.
And I can see, like, why the first Zelda was so successful was why Link to the Past was so immensely successful.
Yeah.
Is it had that, like, it had those little secrets that kids would find, and then they would talk about it on the playground with their friends.
You could go to, the next day. Because, like, yeah, I never played the original Nintendo one still well after as well. Mm-hmm. This was my first Zelda game, and I never owned it. My buddy had it, and I remember borrowing it from my friend. And, like, so right away, you're in the house, and then... I don't even know. Is that guy your dad? That fat guy that, like, leaves with the sword?
It's your uncle.
Oh, it's your uncle. Yeah. Okay. So he leaves, and then you go follow him, and you get the sword, and then you save Zelda and get out of the castle, right? And then I this was the moment where I was like, wow. And it was after you get out of, like, the sanctuary. Because remember, you sneak Zelda through, like, the underground tunnels and get her out of that castle. And you come out of the sanctuary, and then I remember opening the map. And, like, and you when you first open the map, it just shows you, like, the zoomed-in area of where you are. And then you hit it again, and then it's like, and then you can see everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. And the three amulets are, like, flashing in the three places that you have to go to get the three of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's right away, but pretty quick.
And after you go talk to the guy, to this day, I do not know what that character's name is. Saha Sharala or something like that.
Yeah, the old bald guy, the vulture, the guy that looks like the vulture. And then, once those three amulets light up on that map and you're like, I can go anywhere, and you can't quite go anywhere right away.
But, like, you have this sense of, like, oh, I have stuff to do now.
Blew me away. I'd never played a game like that before. It'd always been, like the closest thing I'd had to something like that was, like, Mario World, where you have a map, but you have paths and you go into levels. Mm-hmm. It wasn't it would be like if Super Mario World didn't have little dots you click on to play a level. It's like every level was just built into this huge map. And I was like, yeah, like, just, I remember just spending days, like, just walking around that map, like, before I even went to get, like, before I even started with any of the, like, going after the amulets or whatever they were called, just walking around and just being like, wow, like, look at this. And the, like, it was just, it felt so big.
Like, what Link to the Past, I feel, does so well is its overworld. Like, it does its overworld better than almost any other Zelda game, at the very least until Breath of the Wild.
I'd agree with that.
Because there were so many, like, every corner had, like, there was, like, a new waterfall that, like, you would find.
Yeah.
Or, like, there'd be a cave or, like, a crack in a wall you didn't see. And it's like, oh, I have to blow that up. And, in fact, you don't, like, not only is it encouraged that you do that, you absolutely have to do that to beat this game. Because if you get to that Turtle Rock boss and you don't have the ice rod, you're so out of luck.
That's
right. And there's, they never tell you, by the way, there's an ice rod somewhere. You're going to need that for this town. You just have to have explored enough to have found this thing.
Yeah, it drove me crazy because, like, you would bring up the item selection screen, and it had, like, 20 spots or 24. I don't remember exactly how many items it was. But it was so, like, literally, dude, after you had three or four items, it became so apparent there was a spot for every item, and that whole grid would be full when you had all the items. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And remember, here's the thing, that, like, so many of those, like, key items were so well hidden. And, like, even, like, I usually don't get the cape when I play through it.
Okay.
And it's one of those, like, but it's such a useful item. And same with, like, the cane that, like, makes you invincible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the coolest thing, or, like, those amulets, which you kind of needed, but, like, You only needed two of them, and you only needed to use two of them once.
Yeah, like, I don't think I ever used them outside of, like, the spot that they call for them to have them. But I had to have all of it. Like, I'm like, I need all of it. It looks so good when you, like, even, like...
And it's so handy just to have that arsenal.
Yeah.
And that's what it felt like. It felt like an arsenal.
It did. And it looks so, like... One of the things I love about this game, and, like, we could talk about the graphics, because the graphics are fantastic.
The graphics have totally held up.
They totally have. It's a beautiful game. It looks so nice. But one of my favorite things about that game is to bring up that, like, I And I don't even know why I have this sense of like love and nostalgia for it. But like, when you open the item screen, all the items look so cool. Like, they all look so bright and nice and so obvious. Like, oh, that's a hammer. Like, that's a hookshot. That's my boomerang. That's my bow. Like, you could tell what everything was. And it, none of it didn't look cluttered. It didn't seem like a pain in the ass and to
there
use.
There were so many items, but each one of them held so much weight. Like, you remember when you would get them in the item and you would be like, oh, there was like not only the aha moment for what you have to do in the dungeon, but so many times it would be like, oh, I can do this in the overworld, or I can go, I can like move that boulder now and see what's behind there, or see what's up here.
I feel like, because my favorite genre of game is platformer, followed very closely, I guess you could kind of consider them platformers, by like Metroidvania games.
Mm-hmm.
I love that sense of like getting a new power up and then being like, well, where can I go with this now?
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like Zelda was like, Link to the Past was the first game where I felt like that. Like every time, in particular, every time I upgraded the power glove. Dude, when I couldn't, when you, because remember the first time you can lift the light rocks, but you can't lift the dark ones.
Yeah, and then you'd and like, then, you'd come across a dark rock and you'd be like, oh, for fuck's
and you're like,
sakes.
I fucking know there's something under that rock. And then when you get the second power glove, you're like, yes. And like every time I, or like when you get the hammer, and you're like, now I can put all those little pegs down.
Or when you get the hook shot, it's like, oh, I can go to the second half the dark map.
Yeah, the hook shot is like, I mean, hookshot's the greatest item in Zelda history, right? Like, we can all agree on that.
I think it's definitely up there for
like,
me.
I, like, once I get the hookshot, I only change out when I need another item.
Mm-hmm.
I use it all the time. I'm like, I shoot bad guys with it. I use it to get around faster. I use it to get items. Like, literally, there'll be a rupee, like, 3 inches away on the screen, and I'll hookshot it. I'm like, I'm not walking all the way over
I'm fucking
like, Zelda, like, or Zelda. Link would become a fat pig. If those mechanics were in the game, I'm like, I'm not walking. And like, or the dash boots. Like,
the
once
dash
you get
boots are cool.
Dude, they change the game too. Cause then there's no more like slowly crawling across each screen. You fucking, like, as soon as I get into a new screen, it's like hold dash, run until he runs into something. I'm bad for that. Like, I can't just walk. I have to run.
The running is a, like, I really like the running, but like, even when you're doing the slow exploration thing, it's still fun because you're still like, that's still early in the game. Like, that's, you're still finding like weird corners of the map.
Yeah, yeah. Or like when you get when you can swim, that's a huge thing.
That,
like,
is a huge thing
when you can finally go in deep water.
Not only can you swim, but you can use those whirlpools to like warp around the map.
Yeah, yeah. Which makes things, it's the same as when you get the, I think they call it the flute in the game, but like, it's clearly an ocarina.
It's an ocarina, yeah.
And then you use it to, so, okay, let me just ask, because we're going to talk about Ocarina of Time next, so I don't want to get into it yet.
But okay.
Like, I'm just curious, do you say Oc or Oak or Arena? Ocarina or Ocarina?
You know, that's a...
Because I said Ocarina forever.
I said Ocarina as well.
And then,
but
and
Ocarina
then,
sounds like, it sounds right too.
Every podcast and everything I listen to, everyone's like Ocarina. And I'm like, oh. And so now I'm saying it, but I've heard you say Ocarina. And I'm like, I want to go back to an Ocarina guy, but I don't even. We'll get into more of it with Ocarina
okay.
time. But so it's like the flute. Like, once you get a hold of that, it's the same thing. Then you have that little bird who can like carry you around. But he can only take you to certain places, I think.
There are certain points on the map that you can warp to with this little bird. But, right. like, thinking about, like, the bird and, like, some of the weird things in the village, there's so many, like, even in just, like, I spent so much time when I was playing this game just going around Kakariko Village looking for stuff.
Yeah.
So I actually, like, the version of this game that I had was in French.
Oh, it was, Jesus.
Yeah, so, like... This game was, like, not only is it, like, hella mysterious, the plot was mysterious to me as well. I got, like, I figured out, like, the basics, like, oh, there's a princess, she's been kidnapped.
Right.
She's hiding with this guy who gets murdered.
And this is all pre-internet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way to, you can't just Google, like, what the fuck's going on.
Can't Google what's going on, but I did get a hold of, like, a player's guide once.
I was gonna say, yeah. I mentioned this during my Mario World conversation on here, too, but, like, my mom used to take us to the library every couple weekends. And we're each allowed to get a couple of books, and I would always get either this Mario World guide or this Link to the Past guide.
You could and get those at the library.
At the library, and I would get it over and over. She would get so mad. She'd be like, why don't you get something you could read? So I'd get like a book I could read too, like a Choose Your Own Adventure or something. But like the big one I wanted was this Link to the Past guide, because I was like, it would help me find the bottles. It helped me find. It was almost like like finding a walkthrough online, but it was before you could get them online.
Like, there are definitely parts of this game that I could not play. Because it was in English, because there's so many like little hints, like a lot of the mechanics of this game are like really cleverly like hinted at.
Yeah.
Like particularly the blind boss fight where you're in the dark world in the village of thieves.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah,
you find this girl in a like in a dungeon.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh, I have to save this girl.
Yeah,
and then you keep bringing her out, and it's like she keeps disappearing, and you're like, well, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah,
and you talk to people around the village, and one person's like, oh man, or like you talk to a person in Kakariko Village in on the exact same place. And they're like, yeah, this dude blind used to live here. He hates light.
Yeah.
And it's like, when you finally click into that, it's that like, oh, I know what I have to do because there's that room that I had to flood with light earlier.
Yeah, you go in and the sun is shining so obviously through this window onto the cracked floor. Mm-hmm. Like so obvious. And then you, because I remember that, because you blow up that spot on the floor and then you fall to the next room and there's nothing.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, what the fuck?
What was the point of that?
And then you realize that when you go to the dark world, now the hole is there, the light's coming through or whatever it was, or maybe it was the other way around. But yeah. Like it was, you had to get the light into that room to be able to fight that boss, right? That's what it was, or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's
and you
took so
the
clever.
And you took like the girl and she turns into this like monster.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. When do you, like, even now, when do you see things like that in games?
Yeah. Like, one world affects, like, because that was, like, dude, that blew me away when, because, like, I remember I got the three amulets. Molly, relax. I got my three amulets, and you get the Master Sword, which I thought was, like, the coolest thing. And it used to make me so, the first time I ever found the Master Sword, you remember you going to the Lost Woods, and there's all those fake swords everywhere?
And you're like, I got it. And then it's like, fuck. Oh, it's not it.
I was like, as a kid, I just forever, I just thought that one of them was the right one. So I went to like every fake sword and like pulled it out. I was like, damn it. Like, damn it. And then finally you realize like when you get it to the end of the Lost Woods, you have to go up that big path where all the animals are like running back and forth. And then there's this big sword like in the fucking rock. And you're like, oh, mm-hmm. Like there it is.
That's clearly the one.
Yeah.
Because like you walk to it and like the animals like. You see animals on the screen making a path for you.
It's so epic. Like, it really is, like, that's one of my fondest gaming memories ever, is that little path up to the Master Sword. Because even in this little 16-bit era, like, looking back on it now, where they didn't have nearly the graphic capabilities that they do now.
But they did so much more with it than they did.
Yeah. They just make it so epic. And then you get this sword, and you're like, you feel like such a bad, like... I was like, wow. And then when I swing the sword, it shoots these little stars out, but only when I got full health. Like, that's it. But like, it was so cool. Like, I felt like just the most badass character in the world.
But it doesn't, like, and it doesn't end there because you can upgrade that sword
again,
two more times.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work, gone, like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001, and a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses in offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
Because then you go get the... Because you go get the you find the second blacksmith,
mm-hmm.
and they edit it. And then Do you throw it in the fountain for the last one?
The last one you have to throw in, like, the big fairy fountain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's so cool that you can upgrade shit, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, so what blew my mind the most, like, the Master Sword is awesome. You get the Master Sword, then you go back to Hyrule Castle, and you save Zelda, or you think you've saved Zelda or whatever, because you go through that, like, lightning thingy, and you go in and fight. But then I realized that I was in the dark, like, they send you, you get to go to the dark world, and then I was like, holy fuck, like, there's a whole nother game. Like, I thought that was the game.
You thought it was just, like, beat these three things, then that's the game, and you're like, oh, that's pretty good.
And I was like, dude, that was rad, yeah. And then I, like, and then you realize that, like, nope, there's a whole second world, and you can warp back and forth between the two, and they interact with each other. And you're like, this game just doubled in size.
Like, even, like, thinking about the capabilities of that game, it's astounding they fit it on that, like, on the Super Nintendo.
It really is. And what I love about the dark world in that game is that, like, they so perfectly make it the mirror image of the light world, where you can warp back and forth. And, like, I know there's parts where, like, if you warp back and you're in, like, a wall, it won't let you and shit like that. But, like, it was so cool to be able to be, like, to just go back to all these areas you were in and be like, holy fuck, look how different it is now. You know what I mean? And then when you warp back to the light world seems so much brighter. Like, I don't know if it's just the graphics, if it's the way they designed it, but I legit, every time I go back to the light world from the dark world, I'm like, I feel like it's like, like, this is so much better. Like, this is so, I have such an appreciation for this nice light
world. It's because it feels like, because you've immersed yourself so much into the game that Hyrule feels like home.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And it just feels so nice and safe and clean, because in Dark World, everything is fucking awful. Like, it's like, I almost don't like the Dark World because I don't like how... It sounds stupid. I don't like how dark it is. Like, I feel like the colors...
No, but
like,
I know what you're
like,
talking
the colors
about.
Aren't as nice. It's just not as, like,
it's
exciting to play.
To look at.
It is gross to look at, but...
And I think that's kind of what they're going for. They're building up this sense of, like... You know in, like, the Lord of the Rings movies?
Yeah.
When they're moving towards Mount Doom and, like, each shot, each scene that they're in gets progressively darker. It feels like that.
Yeah, and they do, like... It's... I can't even think of too many other video games, much less Super Nintendo era video games, that do such a good job of, like, I legitimately feel different playing it in the dark world than I do when I'm in the light world. Like, I just haven't just, I feel drearier. I feel like it's raining outside when I'm playing. Like, they do such a, like, the music and the atmosphere and the darker colors and the way everything looks dead, like, all the grass looks dead, everything looks gross and dead, and it's like...
The monsters are, like, so much harder to fight.
Fuck, they're so much harder. Those fucking big guys that throw the bombs...
The bombs?
They can go fuck themselves.
They can... I mean, they're so much easier in Link to the Past than they are in Breath of the Wild, though.
Oh, God, yes. Yes, they are. I could do a whole nother one of these on Breath of the Wild, as I'm sure. I know for a fact you fucking
could.
I know for a fact you could.
Definitely could probably do that.
Like, even when I... Because I have my Super Nintendo Classic, and one of the first games I played through it when I got it was Link to the Past, because I hadn't played it forever, and I was like, I gotta play this game. And I had forgotten just how... Like, I almost get depressed in the dark world, because I'm like, it's so dreary. Like, it just seems so shitty.
But they always are finding reasons for you to go back Hyrule.
It's not just a gimmick. Like, you have to beat the game. Like, I love, like, when you're trying to, like, navigate Death Mountain, like, you have to... Because that's where you first, like, kind of warp back and forth, because you get the magic mirror or whatever. And the only way to get across the mountain is to warp back and forth, because you appear up on the cliff, then you go back. You know what I mean? Like, and like, I was like, it's so clever the way that it's not just a gimmick where you flip back and forth. Like, you have
But they've built puzzle mechanics into it.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the things I love about this game too, is just all the, like, it was the first game I'd ever played where there's so many little, like, problem solving things. You know what I mean? Like, I'll see a heart piece and I cannot figure how to get this fucking heart piece, and it's like, I know eventually I'll figure it out.
There's a way to get it,
right? Yeah,
it's I don't have it right now.
Yeah, yeah. And like, and I'd never played a game like that before where it's all these puzzles that were like, it's like it's teasing you and you can see it, but you can't figure how to get there. Or like, until you get the hammer for the first time, you see the wooden pegs in the light world,
and you're like, what are these things?
Yeah,
I can't move past them.
You're bombing them, you're running into them, your hand, like, sword, like, hitting with your sword, you're like, what the fuck is this? And then finally, when you get the hammer, and like, and this is what you had mentioned earlier, it's like you get one of these new power-ups, and not only can you beat the dungeon with that power-up, but you're like, that's so exciting to get out of the dungeon, and you're just like
rubbing, I can go see a new place.
Yeah, yeah, like, you're rubbing your hands together and you're like, all right, let's see where we can go now, you know what I mean? Like, and I love that sense of exploration in that game.
It's just a game that makes you want to see all of it. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to see... And it was very unusual for, like, because as, like, I played the original Zelda, and it, like, I imagine for a lot of people they have the same feelings, but, like, I played it as an adult, yeah. So it didn't have that same
likewise.
Effect on me, because yeah. I had played Link to the, like, and I feel like Link to the Past is just everything that the original was, but way better.
100%. Like that's why I love the Super Nintendo so much, because I feel like all of the franchises from the NES, like, just got shot up with steroids. And dropped onto the Super Nintendo, and they're all the superior versions of these games, right? Like, and that 16-bit, like, I did it with Mario World, I did it with Turtles in Time. I will rant about how I love 16-bit graphics, because I just like what they're able to do.
Because they look great still.
The colors and the sprites and everything. But like Link to the Past, probably more than any game, I just love the graphical style of it so much. Like, it's just like it looks perfect. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing that you're looking at, and you're like, what the fuck is that?
Like, you play old N64 games, and, like, at the time, they, like, oh, my God, these sure. games look great. Sure. But now you play them, and, like, you see how old they are. Mm-hmm. Like, you see, because it was the first foray into 3D gaming.
Right.
But you look at games like Link to the Past.
Yeah.
And this is on the Super Nintendo, which was one of the last 2D
yep.
gaming consoles.
Yeah.
So it's the absolute pinnacle of 2D gaming.
Yeah, it was so epic, dude. It was like, and to touch back on the exploration, like it's still to this day, and I have the nostalgia for it because it was the first game I had like this, but it was the first game I ever owned where I felt like I could turn it on and play for an hour and not accomplish anything.
And still feel like you didn't waste your time.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, well, I would turn it on and be like, I have an hour before mom says I have to go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I have three of the crystals. Because that was the one thing was like, I know you had to get the amulets in the light world in the right order as well. Like, you had to go green, blue, red, I think is what the order was. But in the dark world, there was the seven crystals, and they were clearly numbered, like mm-hmm. 1 through 7, right? And so I'd have like three crystals. And my mom was like, you have an hour. And I'm like, well, I could go to crystal 4 and start into that. But I'm like, I'm just going to pick this like fucking southwest corner of the map.
See what's down
and
there.
And just see what I can find.
See what's in the caves down there.
Yeah, yeah. There's so many caves. Like, you know, like sometimes you find a heart piece. Or sometimes, I actually used to hate it. Like, all I would find is, like, 300 rupees, and I already have 999 rupees.
Yeah, that's the one thing is, like, the rupees didn't end up meaning much.
No, they didn't mean anything. They were just, like, but like that, I would go digging for treasure. And, like, at the end of the hour, if all I found was this treasure with 300 rupees in it, I'm like, all right, well, that's cool. I found another cave. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like, and it always makes you feel like there's got to be more caves. And there always was.
There always was so many caves, and there was always something in it. Or, someone just there to, like... That will be like, yo, I'll sell you this hint, this helpful hint for 100 rupees or something.
Or you're like, I got to go pick up some rocks today and just see if there's something under this rock. You know what I mean? Like, I got to find a cave to get in. Like,
or there's a fountain with a fairy that'll heal you. Or
yeah, yeah. It was just, it was nonstop. Like, there was just so much to do. Even today, like, when I played through it a couple of years, or like last year with my Zelda Classic, I was like, there's so much to do in this game for such an old game.
And that's the most impressive part about it is that it is it started development in 1988. It is a 30-year-old game.
Right.
And it's still one of those games. It's like modern games don't do this as well as this does.
No, they don't. It's that Nintendo. Like, I know for a fact, like, I listen to a lot of gaming podcasts and like I read a lot of reviews and stuff. And there are people that say that Nintendo gets, they call it the Nintendo bump on their scores. On reviews sometimes people are like they'll get an extra half a point because it's Mario and they're like people love Mario and maybe you're right, but at the same time it's like, and this much like Mario World and stuff like that, but like Link to the Past is like a primo example of a company that just has like, they're like, we're gonna take that extra little, we put that extra little bit of care into our games, right? There's like, I literally cannot think of one thing in that game that feels half-assed, like they just tossed it in. Like, there's not one thing.
And there are so many things for you to find if you put the time into it. Like, who would ever think to, like, get a, like, when you get that, like, magic bag.
Yeah.
Who would ever think to just go up to random chickens and throw it on them?
Yeah, yeah.
And yet there's a house. You go in, you have your magic bag, you throw it on a chicken, it turns into a person and is like, fuck you for turning me into a person. This sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, I see you being dicks to all the other chickens in town. And it's like, that's, that, you don't get anything from it, but it's this funny little moment that you had to find, and it feels satisfying.
And they, and that's like, that's not something that they can put in the game in 30 seconds. Like, that took time for them to put that in there, knowing that, like, a lot of people are never going to find this. But, like, that's, like, to me, that's part of the allure of that game, is it's like, okay, like, what else can I find? Like, there has to be something else. To, and it's, there always is.
And they're usually, like, yeah, like I said, like, I spent, like, just an hour looking around Kakariko Village when I was a kid, just looking for new items.
Did you used to do the thing where you'd attack the chicken?
Yeah.
Of course. Like, yeah, I thought that was like, the greatest thing in the world. My brother and I would just laugh at these chickens, like, and then I'd start to get mad because I would do it too far away from somewhere where I could hide, and then I'd end up, like, getting killed by these, because, like, if you don't know, the next time you play it, just start hacking away at a chicken with your sword and just keep pounding on them, and then eventually, like, I don't know if it only works in the village or if it works anywhere.
I think it works anywhere.
I think it works anywhere. You just keep hacking away at a chicken, and eventually, like, in mass, these fucking chickens just, like, will take over the screen. And that's another thing. Like, they just, like, that's just a little touch. They don't have to put that in there.
Well, and that's one of those things that carried on to, like, other Zelda games. Yeah. And there were so many things that started with Link to the Past. A lot of the music is so iconic from Zelda comes from Link.
And that's
to the
another
past.
Thing I was gonna say is, like, it's that that initial, like, the initial opening track to Link to the Past.
Like, it immediately tells you what type of game you're about to play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, there's, like, that music is so iconic. Like, the, even, like, that very, very beginning screen where, like, the Triforce is, like, spinning in, and the like, piano or whatever is playing. And then they just start playing, like, the Zelda theme. And I'm just like, yes! Like, it's just, it's, I feel like that whole game just feels so epic. It's so big. And it's, I feel like, looking back on it now, especially, it's like, I feel like this is, and I feel like, I feel like Breath of the Wild was to Link to the Past what Link to the Past was to the original NES Zelda.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help, because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
Yeah,
where it was like Miyamoto had this vision, and with the NES, it's like, this is the best I can do with this vision.
Breath of the Wild is the most complete Zelda game they've made yet.
Yeah, like I was because my girlfriend, the only Zelda she's ever played is Breath of the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Breath of the Wild, and I was telling her, like, if you go back and play Link to the Past, or in particular the NES one, I feel like Link to the Past did a much better job with it because they just had more to work with than the NES one did.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, it's funny because you can play Breath of the Wild now and be like, this is what they wanted the NES one to be.
No, and it's
this huge open world.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it ended up being. And Link to the Past, it did get a little bit more. Like as you mentioned, they numbered the crystals.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, it was more of a, like, you go here, and then you go here, and then you go here, which...
It was linear.
It was pretty linear, but it didn't really, like... It didn't necessarily hurt the game.
No, not at all. And it didn't have... Like, that's one of the things I like about this game, too, is, like, if you wanted to just, like, rush through... eventually you have to go looking for some things, because you need some things to finish the game, but you can get through without filling out that item grid.
Oh, easily.
And you can get through without upgrading all your weapons and all that kind of shit like that. But it's like, that's like, that's part of the fun.
I actually raced, like, my brother and I, we raced through, like, a few Zelda games.
Oh, yeah?
And this game I got through in, I think it was 5 hours.
Holy shit.
Something like that. But it was, like, 5 hours straight.
Dude, it takes me 5 hours to beat the fucking Ice Temple.
Oh, dude, the Ice Temple is, like, that's one of the tougher ones because it's, like, just this one small little puzzle that hurts so much to try to solve.
Yeah,
because you know that, like, you have to have this switch set this way and you need to push this block down this hole, but you have to like find a way to get back around.
It like that to this day, when I played through that game last year, I was like, that was the one where as soon as I walked in, I was like, oh, cause I was stuck there for so long as a kid.
For me, it's Ganon's Castle is the one that's like, is the hardest
at the end of the game,
at the very end of the game, because like you have to go to the basement and like solve like some pretty standard puzzles down there and like fight some mini bosses again.
Yeah.
But then like you get to the, like the upper levels of this castle and it keeps going and going and going for so long.
Yeah.
And like, it's just enemy after enemy and you're on like icy, like, and then there's spikes and there's fire and then there's these icy paths that you have to like, try to like fight enemies on while not falling off. It's so hard. And like, I never, like, even now playing it through, I never have like I'm one of those people, I always have like 4 fairies whenever I go anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
So like, and by the time I get to a Ganon at the top, it's like 1 fairy left.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the fairies are like essential. You couldn't beat that game without. Well, I mean, I'm sure you can. There's people that do it with like 3 hearts or whatever. I
like
don't know
Ocarina of Time
that.
Or like Skyward Sword or even Twilight Princess. You could totally like beat those games without fairies.
Right.
But Link to the Past. And that's the other thing I like so much about Link to the Past is it's still hard. Even after your 20th, 30th playthrough.
It is hard. And like, and I do think that there's a small portion of the difficulty that's just chalked up to the design of it. Like at the end of the day, like you're that little guy, your sword is like 3/4 of an inch long, and that's you know what I mean, like sometimes it's just hard to hit people with this little tiny sword when they're big fast moving enemies and stuff. But at the same time, I've never like, I there's not one point where I find it like bad game design.
Yeah, it's never like if you die, it's always your fault. Like you always had a way to not die.
Yeah,
it's just
not,
you failed.
It's not cheap. It's like those I'm so glad you don't get hurt by it, but when you go to get it's one of the amulets, and you have to fight that giant fucking rattling worm, and it keeps bumping you off the edges of that like platform you're on,
and
you
every
fall
time,
down, and it doesn't hurt you, but you have to hike back up.
It's like the giant Moldorm at the top that you have to like, and if you get bumped back down, you have to start again. Like you don't get
he gets all his health back. Yeah, fucking guy. such a good game. Okay, we're at like half an hour already. That was
all
awesome.
Right, cool.
Okay, so I have a few questions for you. What's your favorite? Do you remember a favorite boss fight from that game?
Favorite boss fight? Might be Ganon at the end, just because it's another one of those things where like you need to have been paying attention to know what you have to
do. Yeah, to know how to fight him.
Because like if you just just charge right in, you're like, and you don't have silver arrows, you're gonna die.
Yeah.
And you're never gonna figure it out.
Yeah. I don't know why it's like burned into my brain. I love the boss where you get the hammer and he kind of looks like a dinosaur, but he's got that green mask.
Yeah, but
on.
It's like the giant, like it's kind of like a giant lizard thing.
Yeah, and you have to like get really close to him and chip away at his mask with the hammer. And then I don't know why I like that boss, but
that's a great boss.
Yeah, there's something about him. It's just burned into my brain that I just love it. I think he looks so cool.
I also like the fight where you fight the giant moth, and you have your flame rod.
Oh yeah.
But like you're on a moving platform, and there are spikes coming at you from all angles.
Yeah. Even the boss fights, like they're not boring.
No,
like they're not. Like
they're
just they're
so
not
so well designed.
Yeah,
especially considering they're again a 30-year-old game.
Yeah, there's very few, if any, that you just run at with your sword and swing until you beat them. Like you have to apply some strategy, or they'll fuck you up.
And even later Zeldas, there's so much like big red glowing eye. You just got a bow and arrow. I wonder what happens.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. Okay, so it's a great game. If you've never played it, which I guess is possible, like you have to go out and play it.
Yeah.
It's I'm not going to get off on a tirade because this is about retro video games, but if you've played Link to the Past and you liked it and you haven't played Link Between Worlds, play that too. Did you play Link to Between Worlds?
I love Link Between Worlds.
For my, I almost liked it better than Link to the Past when I was done it. I loved
it. It's tough. The most impressive thing about Link to the Worlds, and we won't, or Link Between Worlds, and we won't go off on too much of a tangent on this, but like Link Between Worlds managed to be a different video game.
And it's on the exact same map. It's a complete sequel to Link to the Past.
And not only is it like completely different, the way you explore the world is different.
Yeah, it is, yeah. But it's so cool because if you know the map off by heart, which I'm sure a lot of people do, like the Link to the Past map.
It uses that to fuck with you.
Yeah, you're like, I know where this is. And then you're like, what the fuck? This is all different.
Mm-hmm.
I read that originally they were just planning to do a remake of Link to the Past.
Which I kind of would still like to see.
Me too. But then they were like, let's just make another game. And it's great. So if you haven't played it, play it. Link to the Past and Link Between Worlds are my two favorite Zelda games. And I would make them like 1A and 1B. Like they're that fucking close. I don't think I've been hooked on a game on my first playthrough since Link. Like Link Between Worlds hooked me more than any game has in years and years. I loved it. Because I was like, this is my old comfort food, but completely different.
But like something a little bit like it. It's not like it's like you see a lot of games, like especially like in Pokemon games, where they'll be like, "We're going back to use the same map," and it feels like the same game just remixed a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's like we're on the same map. This is an entirely new,
totally
game.
Different game. Okay, excuse me. So that said, if you had to give Link to the Past a score out of 10, what would you give it?
Let's say 9.9.
9.9? Yeah, I would honestly go with a 9.9 as well. Because I swore nothing was getting a 10 other than Super Mario World. But Link to the Past is like, it's fucking right there.
There's like one or two things that I didn't like about it, and that's it.
Yeah, the only reason, you know what cost it 0.1 point? Is that fucking Ice Temple.
Yeah.
I hate that temple. Is there like, yeah, okay. But yeah, so we both agree it's fucking
9.9.
9.9, and you have to play it. If you've never played it, it's available on everything.
I was playing it on my 3DS on the way over here.
Sure. Like it's available on 3DS, it's on virtual consoles, it's on the SNES Classic. Like,
it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Play this game, play it. Okay, and with that, I'm going to end this thing, and then we're going to talk more Zelda.
Cool.
All right. That's going to do it this week for Remember the Game, you guys. I'd like to thank my buddy Mark for coming over and nerding out with me over Link to the Past. And as always, I'd like to thank you guys so much for listening to the show. As I mentioned off the top, if you liked it, please feel free to subscribe, and I'd really appreciate a good review. Or even if you want to leave me a bad review, just give it 5 stars, but then put, I only gave 5 stars to be nice. I actually hate the show. I'm totally fine with that, too. This podcast is going really well, guys. I'm enjoying doing it. We have some great episodes coming up down the road. Next week, Mark and I will be back to talk one more Zelda game. We're going to dive into Ocarina, whatever you want to call it, of Time for the Nintendo 64. And we have a little bit more critical opinion of that one than we did Link to the Past. So get ready for that. If you're one of those Ocarina lovers, you're going to like it. You're probably not going to like it, but whatever. You're all nerds like me. What are you going to do? That's it, you guys. I'm going to go. Thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you guys again next Wednesday with Ocarina of Time. Thanks a lot.